This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
I'll just fix them after the show.
Okay, Don, right. Keep going.
No. It looks like nothing's broke inside. It's just a matter of getting everything lined up, and I can do that later. That's no problem.
On this special episode of Transformers ER, Don Ferguson is trying to fix his Hearts of Steel Starscream.
Yeah, but my heart just isn't in it.
I'm your host, Brian Kilby. With me, of course, Don Ferguson, Chris, Matt, Diecast, Rob Clay, and John DeLuna. Guys, how's it going?
Going good.
May the fourth be with you.
Don's Hearts of Steel Starscream fell off the shelf when he was replacing, when he was putting...
His crappy Kronos off the shelf.
Kronos killed Hearts of Steel Starscream.
God.
That is the new RFC canon.
Actually, now we probably need to go into CSI now. It's not ER. We have to prove what... probable cause would be... Law and Order.
See, now you have to put a Decepticon symbol on him if he's killing other robots.
The probable cause was Kronos is a piece of crap and Starscream's a good toy, and Kronos became insanely jealous.
Yeah, that makes sense to
me. Okay, so.
There we go. Case solved.
Okay, let's see.
By Matt P.I.
Matt P.I.
Well, he does have the mustache.
I should have left that one up to Rob Clay, Toy Detective, I guess. But
also, Don, you kind of missed the obvious there. Matt Locke.
No. I don't think he can pass for Andy Griffith.
Actually, speaking of that, so I wonder if anybody ever took like their Doom Lock and tried to solve mysteries with it.
Yeah, the mystery of why such a crappy toy.
No, it's a great toy, Don.
Remember when the fans project Dinobots were first coming out and we started renaming all of them after old TV detective shows?
Yes, I remember that.
Yes.
And Grimlock was going to be Angela Lansbury?
I should have Angela Lansbury Friday, actually. Yeah.
Nice.
So. Congratulations.
Oh.
So if you like...
Don's very jealous.
Yeah, so if you like this random crap, you can leave us a review on iTunes.
Who doesn't like this random crap?
Go to tfradio.net/iTunes, leave us a review.
You can go anywhere for a well-structured podcast, but you can come here for the chaos.
Yeah.
Get that on Friday. You have to tweet out how well it feels in your hands.
Angela Lansbury feels great in my hands, FYI. Okay. And of course, you can listen to us on Google Play Music. Just search for Radio Free Cybertron. If you have an Android phone, it's already there, so it's easy. But of course, you can also download our app, and that way you can get nothing but us, none of those other podcasts that you don't need. I'm sorry, I'm punchy tonight. So,
yeah, but it makes it a little bit more fun.
Yeah, I know. So, hey, did anybody get anything new this week? I got Victorion. And
are we the only one that actually got it?
No, what else did you get?
Oh, I got Grand Galvatron.
Jealous.
And I think I am the only one who got that.
Mine is sitting in my pile of loot.
I am actually just assembling Grand Galvatron right now.
Yeah, I don't get Grand Galvatron until after I move, which sucks. But that's next week.
So oh. Okay. Well, Matt should have his shortly.
Yeah, Friday.
I'll get mine shortly, too, I think. But I got my very first piece of mail in the new house, and it was the Transformers Collectors Club magazine.
That was fast. That was great. Yeah. So they were able to get that turned around. It's the last year, unfortunately. But they were able to turn that around pretty quick and get that to you.
Yeah, so that was my first piece of mail. And then I also got Masterpiece Ratchet.
Also in my pile of
Nice.
Loot. So I was happy about that.
Great figure.
Jealous.
I haven't played with him yet. I did set up some of my shelves too for everyone who's that's about how much I got done.
I am very much leaning not to be putting myself that I won't be using plastic shelving for my toys. Not to be snooty and pretentious, they're just like if it's not like on like a DTOF or something, it's just going to be in a box.
So you're saying my shelving is horrible?
No, that's what I use now. No, it's a space thing.
Yeah, I think this is Kilby's mechanism to try to be more selective about what he actually displays.
Exactly.
Those are actually metal shelves, and they're...
You would need a whole lot of DTOFs, Brian.
I'm thinking about maybe having three, and everything else is just in a box.
I mean, wow. That seems fair.
That's not a lot of stuff on display.
I know.
Mean,
yeah, it's really edited.
Yeah,
I know.
But that's the point.
Well, and yeah, you're going to be constantly rotating stuff out at the rate you buy stuff.
Ah, but see, that's not a bad thing. Like, if you're constantly rotating your display, that means you're keeping active with all of the toys in your collection, or at least a larger portion of them, rather than just setting them out on a shelf and never doing anything with them again.
I like that.
Yeah.
No, you're also putting them in a box and not even seeing them.
For a while, though, but then you take them back out of the box and rotate them back into display. You know,
no, but at the rate Kilby buys new stuff... Oh, okay. He'll just be constantly putting the new stuff out and boxing everything else
pretty
up.
Okay, but you have to understand, too, there's going to be some attrition. There's going to be losses to Kilby breaking it with his ham hands. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's going to be necessary replacements here.
Actually,
well, now, one thing it also could do, Brian, is it could force you to say, okay, this box is the box I'm keeping and rotate. This is my sale box.
Yes.
So, you know, so now you have an excuse to say, okay... And again, this look who this is coming from for a grain of salt time, but it does give you the impetus to
that,
start sorting.
To that point, I said last week that I was going to have start tweeting out stuff that I was getting rid of, and to James and Scott, apologies for not actually getting that stuff out yet. I have everything out that I'm getting rid of. I just haven't organized and created lists and stuff, so... I do have like two gigantic boxes that are about 3 square feet, 3 cubic feet each, full of stuff. It's turned out, though, most of what I'm getting rid of is carded stuff. Basically, it's like if I never cared enough to take it off the card, I just don't want it.
Makes sense. Mm.
Yeah. So, man, that looks great.
Beautiful. Grand Galvatron. It's pretty nice.
Jealous.
So I was relieved messing with Starscream during the pre-show. All the joints that are on clear plastic parts have a fairly low joint tension, so just manipulating the toy does not feel like it's going to break on that clear plastic. The downside is it has loose joints.
Boom.
Everything else, though, with the exception of Roller having some mold flash in one of the arm joints that's limiting the range of motion, everything else on this feels really good, and like there's not a lot of like paint slop or anything on it. Which one? Breakdown has a little bit on one of the yellow parts, but yellow paint's terrible anyway. No, overall, like, having just assembled this for the first time, I'm extremely, extremely satisfied with this. Cyclonus is so pretty.
So, actually, speaking of Galvatron, what did everybody think of that Galvatron cosplay from the Calgary Comic and Entertainment Expo?
Very interesting.
That was awesome.
That was fantastic. That was fantastic.
Yeah, so Transformers is pretty much still in a place where you can call out a certain cosplay by, like, just the character's name, because cosplay isn't as big in Transformers as people tend to think. So, but that was a pretty amazing cosplay, and it was Galvatron, so it made me happy.
I like that, like, he even made it with the chest symbol lighting up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It actually, to me, it looked like the Tin Man in a Galvatron costume.
Well, or the gotta think G1 comic back when they had human-esque faces. So it was very much like an Andrew Weldman sort of face.
It was a really cool costume, though.
Although, if that was the case, it should have been in, you know, the, like, silvery blue.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, it's still super, super cool costume.
Very cool. But I totally see where you get the Tin Man from.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that just... It's the same principle, so yeah, I mean, it's hard not to make the comparison.
Yeah. Okay, so let's see here. Jumping to this week in history. So last week, we talked about the 20th anniversary of Beast Wars. This week, we're talking about the death of Beast Wars.
Oh.
1999, which was 17 years ago. Actually, I guess almost literal death, too, because it was written by Furman. Nemesis Part 2 premiered in the U.S. And
God, I remember watching that.
Me too.
Just like... I can't believe this is ending. It just...
I remember watching it, and like this was before I had regular internet access, so I didn't even know it was the last episode until the end where, oh, this is the end.
I remember watching it. It was like, this is so Furman. That's exactly what was going through my mind as I was watching it. It's like, oh, God, it's so Furman.
Well, I guess that's the reason why, you know, you had the body count that you did, but... Mm-hmm. This last two-parter here with Nemesis Part 1 and 2, the way everything ended, made me hate what happened next even more. Just coming off this great 3 years.
Not the time, Don. Don't you put down Beast Machines.
Look, most people felt that way about Beast Machines
at the time,
early in the first season, for sure. But it got better.
Way better.
You know.
So much better. But Don,
it's been 18 years. It's time to let go.
Yeah. I can't. I'm still holding grudges against Civil War when it started.
Don,
do it.
Civil War was crap.
Don.
But the movie will fix that.
Yes. Don. Civil War starts tomorrow. Don't.
Don, you have to remember what the song says. The Beast Wars are over, and we're moving on.
But
here's the thing. I enjoyed that promo more than I enjoyed the show.
Oh, the promo was great.
But the thing that was good. But the thing is, Nemesis Part 2, I give Furman a lot of grief for not being the best writer in the world, but he did a lot for the Transformers. But I really enjoyed that, I guess, as an episode. And if you could have a series that maybe would run 4 or 5 episodes because everybody would die, I think Furman could really pull off.
So, an average British show.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be like Sherlock or something.
Or Doctor Who.
Doctor Who is more than 3 episodes, though, right?
Sometimes. Simon Furman writing
only
Doctor
because
Who.
The Doctor regenerates.
Oh my God, Simon Furman writing Doctor Who. That could be the most epic thing ever.
I mean, I'd watch it.
I'd watch it.
I wonder if you ever read the comic in the UK.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay, let's go ahead and jump to the news. Of course, all the news hit last week before the show, thankfully, except for the Titans Return Hot Rod, which leaked a day or two after. We get... Is this a mock-up, or is this...
It's a color guide.
But is that based on... Is that like a Photoshop mock-up of the toy, or is that... What is that?
It's probably Photoshopped over a gray prototype, yes.
But, there it is. It looks great. Amazingly.
Looks okay.
I think it looks great. Especially in the vehicle mode.
It certainly looks better than the 2006 toy.
Yeah.
It absolutely does.
What doesn't?
Well... Let's be honest. When we got that 2006 Classics Hot Rod,
we were thrilled.
We all liked it. I think if the mold had just not been so oversaturated in the last decade, we wouldn't be quite as biased towards it now. But with it being just so used, we're tired of it.
Okay,
but I think that's part of the problem.
Counterpoint. With Classics, you can kind of follow along and see the sequence that the toys were designed in. Starscream was the first one. It's very, very clear Starscream was the first toy they designed for that line because it's the most like a low-end Cybertron toy. I would say Hot Rod is probably the second thing they designed for that because it's just like a step and a half above that Starscream mold. And it's not so much the saturation, it's just that it had no chance to age gracefully like Grimlock, Mirage, or Bumblebee did.
Grimlock to me is like a step and a half above like the Legends.
I don't even like that.
Yeah,
Grimlock.
That Grimlock. To me, the Hot Rod's a better figure than the Grimlock.
I agree.
you're so wrong.
Right, can I say this because of all these leaks, when I go to New York Comic Con, the preview show for Hasbro, it's going to mean that Anthony and I are just going to get really trashed because we're going to be like,
awesome.
Oh, no surprises. Let's just drink the whole night.
Well, now, one thing, Diane, it may be possible since all this has happened, they know
that they'll just cancel the New York Comic Con show.
No. What I'm saying is,
I know
they're still G.I. Joe, right?
They know they've seen this happen. They know the genie's out of the bottle, and so they are going to have to say, "Okay, we can either show the stuff everybody knows about, or we can bring some stuff they haven't seen." So maybe this might inspire them to bring some other stuff to make a more dynamic presentation.
There's stuff that was leaked 6 months ago, or stuff that's going to be leaked next week. Let's go ahead and do the stuff that's going to be leaked next week.
No, okay, so, like, to be fair, though, like, we had a bunch of leaks before Toy Fair, which ended up carrying us into a lot of what was shown at BotCon, but BotCon still had new stuff to show us. Not nearly as much as they planned, I'm sure, but hey, I'm sure there will still be stuff we're seeing at New York Comic Con for the first time.
So, remember that we had nothing new to see at Toy Fair, though.
So, Don, John...
Okay, so, like, New York Comic Con will see new stuff. San Diego, we won't, because we've just seen it all.
Yeah, so, Don, correct me if I'm wrong. So, back in the day, didn't we see, like, more line art and art for toys, not just the, like, mock-ups and such?
Yeah, yeah, because that was the easiest thing to get out there, because you didn't have all this computer-generated stuff that you could throw together in 20 minutes and get out to the internet. I mean,
I meant like at BotCon. So, before stuff would get, before we would actually get like the reveals that would go public, we would get just like stuff that was like a year out. And
definitely.
And it was art.
Yeah, art, you know, like you said, line art, sketch art, maybe a head turnaround in pencil or colored. You know, just so we see with the head and things like that, but not to the completest extent that we're getting now.
Yeah, I mean now I guess we have faster prototyping and stuff where it's easier to turn stuff around.
Well, and the processes they work with are different now. Aaron Archer at his panel was kind of talking about that some too, like just in the time, like in the stretch of his career, how much the process went from like pen and paper to computerized.
Yeah. So I don't know if everything else gets leaked, maybe they could just leak some sketches. I would be fine with that. I think that would be cool, but people would complain. Okay, yeah. So subscription service 5.0, or the next generation, the last generation, whatever you want to call it. The order period begins now, and it runs through May 26th. I want it. I don't think I'm getting it.
I want it. I've already ordered it.
I want some of the figures, but
I want one of the figures
for the total amount involved versus what I've got looking at coming out in the next 4 to 5 months. The money would just be better elsewhere. And the only thing I really want is that Megatron and Optimus double pretender, but those are going to be going for so much on the secondary market probably for the longest time. Yeah,
I really don't care about Toxitron or Fractal, but I want the rest. So
yeah. So
well, I mean, Fractal's another combiner limb for you though. So
yeah.
So, speaking,
but Toxitron's another torso that I won't have enough limbs for.
Speaking of things going for a lot, look how much Megatron's going for now.
I wish I would have had you pick me up one of those instead of Reflector.
I haven't looked because I'd be too tempted to sell mine.
Like $800, Don.
Oh my
God.
What?
Yeah.
That would.
It was the lowest. I think that had the lowest production numbers. That or Airazor.
Airazor had 100 less than Megatron.
God, I could finish off Hades, Ryu-O.
Oh, Dononomics, stop it.
Yeah. Damn, I could finish so much of my stuff with that one sale.
Well, I think what we've learned from this though is that. Whoever the fan was that gave Diecast a Megatron that day is the most generous person ever.
And the guy who bought 40 sucks.
Yeah, so let's see here. This one ended for $600. This one ended for $625.
Yeah.
I've heard of them. This one ended for nearly $700.
Man, I had to sell mine.
I'm so tempted to sell mine.
Yeah. I sold my extra one.
Give it
for
another
like
6 months, Matt.
Bucks.
Maybe you'll be able to pay off your mortgage.
Yeah, so like Darkseid Megatron, which was the 2006 souvenir Megatron, I believe
$750. Like, Jesus Christ.
I think that 2006 Megatron in the set with the little wasp ear regularly tops $1,000.
Yeah.
So like
now there's like
we'll see.
Five.
Give
a
this
year
a little give this a little bit more time and it'll. If you want to still sell it, then you'll get money out of it still.
But see, I'm lucky enough. I've got that Megatron and Waspinator, so it's like,
if you have an emergency, you have a way to get out of it.
That's why I haven't sold the Megatron is because if I ever run into a critical emergency for like rent or food,
Don, you have so much money banked up. You're not going to. Don't worry. You really do. I mean, you don't have to worry about it.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. I know you want to retire on it, but if you need it, if like in the middle of the night you really need another, you know, Transmetal 3 Megatron, you can afford
or, you know, a replacement kidney or something.
And you can put it on like PayPal's payment plan. It's like you're not paying for it at all.
6 months, no interest.
Yeah.
Deferred interest.
Well, all my stuff is on that now, so.
Oh, that's awesome. So what was
it's like? Let's talk about something else. I'm starting to feel bad picking on Don.
Which set was this, though, that Don has? I don't remember it.
The
Future's
Megatron
Past.
Made from Cybertron Defense Red Alert.
How much is it? How much does it go for?
It was nice.
That set sealed regularly tops 1,000.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. About 1,200.
Damn.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you know, it's like, you know, I've got this year's Megatron. It's like I really like it, but I'm trying to complete Hades, Ryu O, two different Computrons, two more Bruticuses.
Whose fault is this?
Yeah, and Don, aren't you going to get Victorion also?
Yeah, and there's Victorion, so I'm just saying one Megatron versus
and Baldigus will be coming out eventually.
Mm, well, I'm talking about stuff that I know for sure. So it's like one Megatron versus six things.
Yeah,
and Black Pandinus, whatever they're gonna do.
Yeah. Not helping. Moving on. This is too tempting.
You can always sell your Kronos.
For like in exchange for a $5 foot long, yes.
Yeah.
That's a euphemism,
someone
right?
Wanted to make a custom of it. I've seen Get Right Robot, Jason from Get Right Robot did a awesome cell shaded Skyfire with a Kronos, and I would love to send mine to him because he just does an amazing job. And that's the only way I'm gonna be happy keeping that is if I get custom art on it.
What, you have a Kronos?
I do.
Why don't you just, point a video camera at it, douse it with gasoline, and just let nature take its course?
That's what I was planning on doing, actually.
think of the YouTube views.
Yeah, yeah. Right? It's like the what happens when lava covers a soda can. It's those kind of videos. They get, 6 million views. I love those, by the way.
Yeah, what you do, find a place to get sodium metal, and stuff Kronos full of that and throw it in a swimming pool.
God.
Or an aquarium, because then you get the exploding glass, too.
Yeah, stand back. Yeah.
Or spectacle. And if you can rent a high-speed camera to point at that, that'll be even better.
Yeah.
See, we got a plan now.
Mm-hmm. we're going viral.
So, let's see here. Million Publishing Hero X... What is Hero X? Is that like the next?
Hero X is what Million Publishing changed their name to.
Ah. Really? Didn't know that. Okay, so there is, I guess it's a 3-pack TAV. Versus...
No, it's a 2-pack.
It's a 2-pack?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Transformers Adventure, duh. I'm like, what the hell is TAV? I'm like, who's TAV? Transformers Adventure, Dogfight versus Run Amok. So, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, you're going to be paying a lot of money for those two little Legends toys.
I've already paid a lot of money for those two little Legends toys. I'm just waiting for them to ship.
Really? How much?
80 bucks?
Somewhere around there, maybe a little bit north. I can't remember. It's been a while. Mm. But those exclusives are always expensive.
Yes, but like...
These are smaller,
something a little bit bigger.
Usually it's a deluxe.
Yeah, but it's usually only one of something a little bit bigger.
Yeah,
so it kind of balances
the
out.
Then, you know, cost higher. Yeah.
The problem with the million publishing stuff is that you can either have steppers that completely vanish within over the course of a few weeks or a month or two, or they can be art fire that sit around forever and ever.
Let's be fair here. I got an art fire because I needed to complete the pair, but when you look at those two toys, it's really clear to see, you know, which one is going to be more appealing just overall.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I was the same way because I was afraid because I figured with what we went through at BotCon trying to get a step.
Oh, yeah.
I was afraid, okay, this is Art Fire. It's got two Target Masters. This is going to be even harder to get because it's going to be a Voyager and probably not as many made as a Deluxe.
Or and not then, as many imported, at least.
Exactly. And then they wind up being everywhere. Yeah. So you just don't know how it's going to run.
Right.
Hey,
I'm so glad I got Artfire. It's just, you know.
Yeah, I wish I had sort of waited and saved some cash.
Yeah, it wouldn't have really hurt to wait a little bit. But, like, these I could probably see going because, like, it's one really good mold and one decent mold with the retool parts that are hard to find.
Yeah. This has Run Amok with it, and I've already got, you know, Runabout, so I got to complete that little pair. And Power Glide or Dogfight will go with my Lost Light crew, so now, there's that.
Is Dogfight using the Viper version of the mold?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay, that's because a friend of mine asked me if I had seen a Viper recently, and I was like,
nope.
I bought the only Viper I ever saw at retail, that was months
and
ago.
And me and Matt bought all the Vipers we saw at BotCon in 2015.
Yeah.
Saw a lot of
them. Every last
that was one. That was great, just cleaning out the dealer room of all the Vipers.
Now, there were some that they were charging like $25 for. I walked past those, but I still ended up with 8 Vipers. So
I was satisfied with the, like, what, 3 I ended up with between what I found and what I bought from you.
You know, I can't pick on you guys too much. When I was boxing up my stuff, and I had to unpack a few things, and I found like a gigantic box full of 25th anniversary Battle Android Troopers.
Exactly. Yeah. You're supposed to troop build them. That's what they're.
Yeah, and Kim's like I would get them in the mail because I would have to just buy more off eBay, and Kim's like, don't you have 30 of that already? The answer is, of course, yes.
I actually have absolutely no idea how many Red Ninjas I have from the G.I. Joe 25th anniversary line. I should probably count those at some point.
Yeah. Hey, let's see here. Who wants a Hallmark Grimlock ornament?
In July.
Don, raise your hand. It's $16.
I want it.
It looks nice.
Now, for a Hallmark ornament,
I have the Megatron one.
Yeah, for a Hallmark ornament, that's really relatively cheap. Because sometimes it's like the Star Trek ones. I've seen those small ones that go for like $30 or so in the stores, and it's just
Hallmark is probably more confident in the nerd money behind Star Trek than they are the nerd money behind Transformers.
Yeah, I would agree.
And I know, you know, they're trying to go for the toy look, and Optimus Prime and Megatron looked kind of horrible just because the toys look kind of horrible, but Grimlock looks like a decent dinosaur. So
you look kind of horrible.
I like his Iron Man shirt this week.
Iron Man shirt sucks. Team Cap all the way.
I was wondering.
I have a Captain
America. I was wondering what that was. I thought, is that some weird
Triforce
logo?
It's not Iron Man, is it?
Yeah, it is.
It is?
Yeah.
He's
got the arc reactor.
I thought it was a symbol that looked like the arc reactor. It really is. Okay, well, great.
I thought it was some kind of weird Triforce Zelda thing or something.
I have a bunch of Captain America ones, too, but they're packed up somewhere.
In October or November, you're going to get your Iron Man helmet and Captain America shield, right?
Yep.
I think I pre-ordered that, too. I need to check my Amazon to be sure.
That helmet is awesome.
It won't fit my head.
I bet it wouldn't fit my head.
No. Okay, so
I just can wear hats. Nobody sells hats in the size I can wear.
Walmart does.
Yeah, I know this.
Well, I mean, besides baseball caps.
Yeah. So, Generation Cyber Battalion figures, they are coming out after all, and you can go to Universal Studios to get it.
Doesn't Universal Studios have an online store that anybody can buy from?
So I remember somebody I know actually called them, and they did an order over the phone.
They do have an online store, too, because I did some checking up on that after we went to when I was working on the review of EVAC. But, you should be able to just order that from there, from the online store. And from previous prices of their stuff, they'll probably run you $50 a piece.
Yes, you can get price gouged from the comfort of your own home.
Yes.
The only possible comfort on that is that if you went to the effort to try to import those figures, which up till now has been the only option, you'd probably be paying at least that much anyway.
Yeah, I kind of want that Starscream.
That Starscream does look nice. It's based on the engineering of the really nice Legends mold.
Are these Voyager size?
I think basically Voyager size, and just the complexity varies based on the price point.
I remember thinking when we saw these at Toy Fair or whatever, they were just scaled up Legends, but they're not.
They are separately engineered. They're just based on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's that. I haven't. I got my evac when we went to BotCon that year near Universal, and I haven't even opened that evac yet.
It's an okay toy.
That's one to keep on the card, though, for me.
Yeah, that's.
I should have.
See, that's kind of what I'm thinking of, because I do have the Legends version opened. So, you know, it's like, and he does look nice on the card.
And see, the advantage I have is that I just don't care.
I'm actually looking for that Captain America shield right now. I can't find it.
Didn't we have a shortcut link to that?
Maybe we did. I want to find it because I want it now.
Yeah, isn't it cfradio.net?
/shield.
A shield?
Heck, oh, it's currently unavailable. Boo.
Oh.
So, yeah,
that's why you couldn't find it, because, you know, it's probably delisted.
Boo.
Oh, well, what you can do is you find that Marvel Legends 3-pack with Coulson and just put that, you know, if you go S.H.I.E.L.D.
Now, if they come out with a U.S. agent version of that S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, that would be awesome. U.S. agent?
Yes.
Ugh. Yes.
And y'all get mad at me for my 90s characters.
Hmm.
Well, jeez. I think I'm the only one here who, when thinking of U.S. agents, specifically wants the Forceworks era costume.
Okay.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
Yeah. Okay, a slight spoiler for this week's S.H.I.E.L.D. Actually, Coulson has built into his hand an energy S.H.I.E.L.D. that he uses in this week's episode.
I'm certain you pissed three people off, Don. Right now,
it was just kind of cool to see Coulson have like the, cause you know Cap and U.S. Agent use that energy shield there for a while, based on from the gauntlet. That so
I remember when they created that
for the second year in a row. I have forgotten to go back to watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. after the
mid-season. I have never watched an episode, and I don't think I ever will.
I've watched either two or three episodes, and the fact I can't remember whether it was two or three pretty much says everything I need to.
I have no interest whatsoever in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I quit right before the first season allegedly got good.
Allegedly.
I mean, oh, yeah, the second half of the first season is great.
Yeah. Okay.
But, you know,
I think we talked about this before.
Because they're actually allowed to tell a story.
Yeah, it was the whole holding pattern thing waiting for the Winter Soldier that killed that, and I just never had the patience to go back.
I always thought, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like, maybe not specifically as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but, like, the Coulson show that, you know, they wanted to do to satisfy fan demand always should have just been an expansion of those shorts they ran between movies.
That's what I wanted.
Coulson, just one random agent doing a mission somewhere. Coulson's the only regular character. Everybody else is just recurring as needed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And just a lot more dynamic format than, you know, special agent team thing.
So
yeah.
Yeah. So we've been talking about doing a Fanboy Versus where we were going to cover Daredevil Season 2, Batman Versus Superman, a couple other things. I really hope we get to do that. You know, now that Civil War is coming out, so.
And Superhero Time's going to do a Daredevil wrap-up podcast at some point in the near future.
Please do something for Batman versus Superman.
I don't think I can convince anybody else to watch that is the problem.
That was so terrible.
I might go see that this week while it's still in the theater.
Good luck finding a theater.
No, it's still playing at the theater here.
Okay. Hey, so last week after the show, the next day, in-hand photos of Titans Return Blaster showed up, and God, I love it.
And more importantly, Rob?
Yes, if you look at, there is a shot here of the helmet open, and you can see that is a different but very similar mold to the one that showed up on that test shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think Rob might have been onto something here.
Yeah, I'm thinking catch. That's going to be Twin Cast.
Good catch.
Yeah, I love this toy. I can't wait to have it. I will get it in Twin Cast colors or Billy colors.
Yeah.
New Billy, right?
I think it was still just Billy.
Oh.
Well, didn't you get
I thought they like changed the name back to Blaster after he became
Maybe they did.
Twin Cast.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Brian, I thought you had all those terrible, horrible episodes memorized to heart.
I know.
The one thing we'll never forget that was Wally.
Okay. So let's see here. Oh, Amazon. So Victorian is showing up. Have no idea how much it is, but people have been buying it. And thank you.
Oh, so, Amazon?
Oh. Yeah.
Well, I just checked. Probably
third-party sellers at this point.
Yeah.
I think the last time I checked, it was 119,
that's
I believe.
That's not bad. Yeah, of course, you know, if you wait until the 15th or so, you can get it just for 100.
Yeah, I'll just wait.
That'll do, yeah.
But if you want to buy, like, I don't know, 100-inch 4K TV or something.
Like Diecast did.
TFRadio.net/Amazon.
Hey, Diecast, how much did your TV set you back?
Some.
A number he doesn't want to say out loud in case his wife's in earshot.
Dropped $100 the couple days.
No, I think he just froze and that's why we didn't hear it.
Yeah.
So here is a, let's, how much is this? It's a 100-inch, well, 98-inch to get technical, 4K Ultra HD TV. It's only $37,000.
What a bargain.
4K? That would be
awesome. If you got that, that would pay for our internet hosting for 2 months. That would be awesome. We would appreciate that.
Or you could save it and put it towards the next tax bill, which you would need to at that point.
Yeah, pretty much. tfradio.net/Amazon.
So I'm looking at the line in the show notes here, and can you actually buy bars of platinum on Amazon?
I don't. So, okay, here's exactly what I wrote. I wrote, Victorian is showing up. Also, why don't you buy a 100-inch 4K TV or bars of platinum or something? I bet you can't buy platinum. Bar of platinum. No, but it's sad that my mind originally went to gold-pressed platinum, like that's a real thing. Actually, yeah, here's a one-ounce bar of platinum for $1,600. Go ahead and buy that.
Well, what is the going rate for platinum per ounce?
A lot.
$1,600, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if Amazon has a discount on that at some point, you could buy from Amazon and resell to your local metallurgist.
Metallurgist?
It's late. I'm tired.
Gold-pressed platinum. You can get gold-pressed platinum.
Now, I saw that at one point, but it was like candy bars. Candy bars they made.
It's an ingot, but I guarantee you, if you broke it in half, you couldn't pour the platinum out. So
right,
that's kind of lame. Okay,
for what Don's talking about, though, like if they do candy, they need to make it like it's the same way they make a Cadbury cream egg.
Mm-hmm.
Because like when we saw the platinum in the show, the actual liquid, it was kind of silvery.
Goopy, yeah.
I mean, like, a filling like that inside chocolate would be pretty much perfect to represent that.
So then you can drink the filling and throw away the worthless shell?
Yes.
Actually.
Hey, no, the Cadbury chocolate's part of the best thing.
So one thing. On my Facebook this weekend, a big topic of discussion was the shower curtain for my new house. So I do want to show off the shower curtain that I got. And
this week on your Transformers podcast.
I know. So, Chris, you'll like this.
I can't see it.
Right there.
Oh, okay. I thought you were showing it off on camera, which obviously I can't see.
I do want to show this.
Let's see.
Uh-huh.
Oh, neat.
Oh, that is nice. I like that.
Oh, wow. I might have to get one of those.
Yep.
So, how does Kim feel about this?
She loved it. She said I could get whatever I wanted.
Okay.
Do they have one for the Enterprise C?
No, they don't.
Kim's just sad.
The Romulans would just blow up his shower curtain. So,
in fact,
that is really nice, Brian. I actually, I might have to get that.
Actually, here, I will show off the one that she wanted me to get, and I'll send you guys the link. She wanted me to get this one, no joke. That was the most popular one until I went ahead and posted the Enterprise.
Oh yeah, you showed us this last week.
Yeah.
Okay. She wanted me to buy that. Yeah.
I'd get the Enterprise myself.
I got it. It came today. It's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. Sorry, tfradio.net/Amazon. Okay, so let's see.
No, I was wrong. That was worth it.
Yeah. Pretty sweet. So why is Toy World creating a masterpiece scale Optimus Prime?
Boy, that is the question, isn't it?
Yeah, I...
Well, I think I may have...
Why is this necessary?
Well, I may have an answer to that.
Okay, Don, I want to hear it.
Okay. It may be possible that they saw how some of these other third-party masterpiece alikes are not quite in scale with MP10. They're a little taller, maybe a little broader, and like Ratchet, some of the Ratchet and Iron Hides are a little taller.
So here's another Masterpiece Optimus Prime to go with your Masterpiece Optimus Prime.
Well, I'm just saying, if you want a larger Prime, if you think either the Takara Tomy Masterpieces are a little too close to Prime's height, or you have the third-party ones that are a little too tall, this Prime would fill in that kind of gap there. Plus, being a little bit bigger, maybe there's some more tricks and engineering things in there that make it a different transformation, just to have something different.
I'm sure that it's engineered differently just because it doesn't look the same in either mode.
There's something I like about it. I think it's the head. So, you know, like, occasionally when Optimus is drawn to be, like, dark and soulless, like he's like a mecha or a robot.
Yeah, like the MP10 Japanese version with the dark eyes.
Yes,
whereas ours got the blue ones.
Yeah, something like that. It kind of looks like that.
Or if you want an Optimus Prime with tires on his butt, you know, this is for
you. Oh,
well,
I didn't notice that.
That's just so it's nice and soft when he sits down. It's good for his hemorrhoids.
Can I just get him in gray? That way I can reenact the scene of him dying. Because
I think that's
what's going to happen to this thing's sails.
Actually, you know, you don't even need a variant. Just get that prototype from them. It's already the right color.
That's it. You know, I'll just get this in that color.
Yeah.
Or if they want to send me the STL files, if those exist.
3D print it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they have to have something like that because they probably 3D printed prototype parts for testing at least.
Yeah. But, like, I like the look of it. It's just, like, all of these other...
It's nice. I think that's, like, Studio Ox-based, as is the custom lately.
Yeah, it's just... It's another also-ran. I don't need it.
Oh, it's completely unnecessary. I think it's stupid. I'm not going to sugarcoat this. I think it's really stupid.
I'm perfectly happy with MP1 and 10. So.
it's kind of like another Devastator at this point. It's like...
Or more Dinobots.
Yeah. Or another Predaking.
I want a really big Prime, so I got that Weejang upscaled Masterpiece Prime, and I'm perfectly fine with that.
There you go.
So, Don.
And at least that's upfront about being a knockoff.
Yeah.
And like I said, the only way I'll buy this is if they do it in that gray color, and then maybe I might get it.
Get some spray paint.
One thing I would like to see if they do alternate colors on that Toy World version, and if the engineering is different enough to make it something a little unique, I wouldn't mind seeing like the Night Watch colors.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'd actually like to see that color scheme come back in Optimus Prime stuff.
In the G1 Optimus,
that was nice.
Yeah, you know, because I've got the Night Watch version of the first 2007 Optimus, and I think it looks great.
I want this in Evangelion colors.
Well, I wouldn't put it past them.
I don't really. Hey, Don, you must be happy about these new photos of Hades.
Yes, I'm
looks
sorry.
Looks great, doesn't it?
It does look
It does
great.
Look great.
This looks really, really good. Like, I may have to take back one or two of the bad things I've said about TFC over the past couple years.
No, I don't think so. They were entirely justified when you said them.
It's interesting how the legs, the robots on the legs.
Uh-oh.
Diecast is locked up again.
Diecast new internet is failing.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be.
He's a little patchy.
Do you still have the same provider, Diecast?
Yeah, I'm getting like 100 megs up and 100 megs down.
I hate you.
Anyway, you were saying about the robot legs.
I'm just surprised how they're like sideways compared to other figures. And
well, that's how Lyokaiser was.
Yeah, that's probably how Lyokaiser was, but Don will let us know once he gets them all together
how many do you have, Don?
I have the first three. I'm going to use Hellbat, Leozak, and Killbison. I've got Cerberus or Jaguar on the way. I just need Guyhawk and Drillhorn. And then hopefully they'll do a Death Cobra as a sixth unannounced figure, so you could have seventh. Sorry,
that'll be part of the obligatory upgrade kit, also known as all the parts they should have sold you with the toys originally.
This is TFC, but I mean by this, I don't really see anything they've left out on this one. Apparently, this even comes with the three section staff.
They'll come up with something.
If they don't do an upgrade on this,
that's why they'll do Death Cobra, because they couldn't find anything else for an upgrade kit. So
it would be nice to get that Death Cobra, so that way, even if nothing else, you've got. He would make a good standalone figure for like your victory shelf, anyway. Since there's no actual Death Cobra,
because so many of us actually have victory shelves. I know you do, Don, but you're a special case.
Well, no. Well, I have a Master Force shelf, and the Victory shelf is like an annex of the Master Force shelf. Master Force will always be more important than Victory.
I agree.
Yeah. Oh,
by the way, I'm on. I'm over at the Toys R Us website now. I'm chatting with one of the agents. I'm checking on Victorion, see if they happen to have any information. If they do, I'll let y'all know.
Well, Toys R Us Canada has it listed to ship on May 17th.
Yeah. So I thought I would just check. I would just check with the agent since they offered the chat link.
Usually, the only thing they know is, oh, look, it's not on our site yet.
Right. Yeah. But I figured I would just check.
Cool.
Yeah.
So anything pops up, I'll let you know.
Okay. So speaking
of useless efforts.
Dr. Wu unveils Nanobot Micro Insect Army set because you don't have enough Insecticons.
Tiny Insecticons. Yeah, no, these are Kickback, Bombshell, and Shrapnel scaled to the little Target Master Chop Shop that came with Legend of Megatron 2013.
What was that?
That was something falling over.
You okay?
Mind. Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
Why didn't they do the rest of Chop Shop's team of Insecticons?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, nobody wants deluxe Insecticons. That's why.
Everybody loves the. I mean, the deluxe Insecticons. You can't get. You. I mean, they're licensing. You know, it's not something you can get as a reissue. Anything.
Those were Bandai.
Yeah. No, they were. Yeah, they were Bandai. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that certainly is a thing.
They're going to be $100 for a set of three, probably.
So is this
three tiny
figures? So is that the coloration or is that unpainted?
They're prototypes.
Okay, because that's just black and red. That's
yeah. Okay, so like, remember acceptable. Those only human minifigures?
Yes.
Like those are very, very detailedly painted. These aren't going to just be little gray figurines.
Okay, good.
Yeah, but the problem is I love the way the Dr. Wu figures look. But there's no articulation. They're like statuettes, and they're like $60.
So, like,
that's all that detailed paintwork done.
So I know that 3D printing as a hobby isn't like completely baked yet. But to me, this is kind of like the realm where people should be making this stuff like this on their own because it's crazy and it's out there, and you don't need to spend money for it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to be interesting if at some point in the near future, like, small third-party things, not even figures, just, like, accessory parts, you don't buy a toy from someone anymore, you buy the plans. You buy the pattern to 3D print.
Yeah, see, we talked about this a long time ago, of how companies to supplement their income will sell you on a website their plans. They'll still own the rights to the patents and everything. But you can buy the plans and print your own. That way it could be figures that they couldn't really make any money on at a production level. But if they can sell what their plans cost, if they just sell the plans and then you have all the costs involved in making the figure, they still get money off of the idea and the property is still theirs. So basically it's a win-win.
I mean, think of like Renderform, which does short run, basically garage kit kind of stuff. You know, the natural evolution of that in my mind is when 3D printing is accessible enough, that just turns into selling DRM'd printing instructions and you run them yourself. You know, doesn't have to be limited anymore based on the labor and material cost to the Renderform guy. You know, it can just be. If you want to pay $20 or whatever to download these plans to your printer and print this out, it's there whenever you want to do it.
Yeah.
And the upside is you've got companies making money on something, like I said, that they may not could make money at a production level for whatever reason.
They're just in a situation of production where they can't feasibly make a lot of something anyway.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the fans will get toys otherwise that may get shelved and never see the light of day that they can actually have in their collection and have, you know, something rare just in kind of a way to look at it.
What
I would do is I would go the Disney route with this, which is, you know how the Disney movies, they'll actually release it for a short period of time. This is what I would do with the designs. I would put it up on the website saying it's going to be released May 20th, and we're going to do a pre-order. And you can pre-order for the design, and based on the number of pre-orders, you can have, say, $20 if it's under 1,000 people. If it hits more than 1,000 people, we're going to drop it down to 18.
That's like Kickstarter.
But isn't that making it more complicated than it needs to be?
It's only available.
Yeah, it should just be a flat price.
But
because there may be a cost that they need to recoup for the design.
Right.
So, and plus, if it's an unlimited time that you can go and purchase this, people procrastinate and then never get it. So you have to do it limited.
But if
there's enough popularity for it, they can put out a statement saying, hey, we're going to release it and it'll be available again.
Or there could be let's say they have a line. I'm going to use Glios. I don't collect Glios, but I think they're good looking little figures. But it's not something they can produce in a profitable format. They can release, say, 6 designs. 1 design is 20. 2 designs is 35. 3 designs is 30. So they can make, you know, if you like this line, you could buy, you know, you would get the economies of scale by buying the extra designs, and they would make more money that way than having to do a structured, you know, if it hits this and if it. I mean, I like your idea. I'm just saying it could be simpler, and then you could sell more, and people could get mix and match their designs they want and get an economy of scale on the purchase.
Yeah, also, I mean, like, the thing with this, too, there'd have to be some way to secure the printing instructions so that you couldn't just hold on to them and, like, either distribute them yourself to someone else or print unlimited copies with them, because it would defeat the whole point of trying to sell that in the first place. It needs to be a one-and-done thing.
I agree.
At least, like, within a reasonable period, so if your printer, you know, jams or whatever, the filament breaks and you have to reset it, you can still get your thing done once. But, like, you know, then you would be in the situation of, okay, buy one instance of the instructions for $20, buy two for, you know, scale it that way if you want to have multiples of the part you're buying.
I don't like DRM, and I think that
I don't in general either. I'm just like, for how this would have to work to be a profitable thing.
I mean, maybe, don't know. I mean, Amazon, iTunes, they all sell their music minus DRM now, and they seem to be doing pretty well. But I was going to say, you want to depend on the honor of, you know, the collectors, but we're buying IP theft. So,
yeah. Well, it's just, I just see this as a thing that's I may not see it in my lifetime, but I'm just saying that this is something that's going to happen with home printing getting cheaper, and with companies looking for ways to have lower cost versus what they produce. This is like, basically you're selling a Trapper Keeper full of sketches.
Yeah.
And you're making a buttload of money off of a bunch of sketches that someone did that works for you thousands of times over. So we're going to go to this at some point in some fashion when the home printing market gets a little more affordable and the quality is there, because it's too much money left on the table to not do this.
So I say, like, in all seriousness, though, I don't think you need to DRM it. I mean, if it's basically a collector serving a collector – I think fans will, generally speaking, honor that and not redistribute it. But with that being said, you will, of course, always have somebody who will just crack it for the, you know, joy of cracking it and be, right, you know, that jerk who does that. Apologies.
I mean, it's not exactly the same thing. I've sat around and seen people, like, tweeting at each other in code that they've come up with, and I just sit around cracking the code for an hour. Because, A, it's a puzzle that I can solve, and I'm curious what they're trying to hide.
Yeah.
Like, I am the guy who cracks just for the sake of cracking within my ability. I mean, Cryptography is super interesting to me.
Yeah.
I would love to go learn more about that.
Were you voting for President Cruz?
Well, just
going to vote for Cruz for president.
Just be careful, XV, because this could blow up in your face. But you can't have the cryptography without Krypton.
Ha 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 ha. But
I'm not allergic to Krypton.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, the Toys R Us rep did check. There's nothing in their system concerning that character yet, but so they said just keep checking the website. So there was no information available at this time.
I am really going to miss the Zodiac Killer jokes. Like, I can't tell you how much. Okay.
You know what I'm going to miss?
What?
Not talking politics on the Transformers podcast.
Okay. So,
yeah.
So, Rob, what's on T-Formers this week?
Okay, well, first up, XV's got an unboxing video for Victorion, which I should have mine by the end of the week. I'm looking forward to that. Also, images of a custom G1 arc that somebody made that is really impressive. That is a nice-looking model.
Now, didn't I... Okay, sorry. I was thinking something else. Wow, that is... See,
yeah, there was one a year or two ago that was, like, big enough to be a playset for Classics toys.
Yeah.
This is a little bit smaller, but I really like how this looks.
Yeah.
Wow, that's...
That and the Galvatron cosplay, like, it's been a good week for just, you know, complicated, effort-intensive fan art things.
Yeah. And lastly, Hisashi Yuki has been putting up pictures of... Hardhead and Skullcruncher the last couple of days, and we've got all of those on T-Formers.
Very cool. Awesome. Okay, guys, quick show this week. Let's see here. You can find us on Twitter at TF Radio and on Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio. Apologies for the Zodiac Killer joke. I am personally on Twitter at B Kilby, and Diecast, you are?
He's at the Zodiac Killer.
He is at Ted Cruz.
I will be at Civil War tomorrow.
I'll probably see it this weekend, and we should talk about it at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm at on Twitter at Diecast too.
Don,
I am on Twitter at HMRCCC.
See, he can't even say it.
the number 4 EVR. I can also be found on. You can also reach me through other. Means as well. I'm out there.
Sometimes he tweets his phone number, so like you know, give him a call sometime.
Yeah. You know me. You know where to find me.
Perhaps you've heard of him.
Yes.
Perhaps you should tweet out your girlfriend's phone number. That way we can all send her messages.
I want to meet her, Don. Can we go on like a double date or something?
Oh, that'd be so good.
In all seriousness,
hell no.
In all seriousness, I'm not joking. Like,
okay, I'll run it past. I'll run it up the flagpole and see what she thinks. But I'm not going to say yay or nay.
It's like my very good friend Brian and his wife Kim, who's awesome, want to meet you because they want to check and make sure that you're okay. Because I mean a lot to them.
They want to make sure you're not going to steal my kidneys.
And my friend Diecast and his wife Kim.
This is a bad idea. Now, moving on.
John, how about you?
Moving on.
That John D.
And Rob.
I am at RAC2750 and Flailthers.
Awesome. Let's see here. Next week, I am toying around with the idea of having audio only.
Why?
Because I'm moving and all of my crap is going to need to be packed up. So.
Well, you know, we could very well just do the show without you.
No.
Me and Diecast are more than capable.
We've done it before.
Diecast internet is sucking right now.
It'll probably get better over the next week.
That doesn't make sense.
It may not make sense, but it's the truth.
I could take a week off. Yeah, I could do that.
Test it right.
Yeah,
now.
We'll check on this like over the weekend or something and see how Diecast internet is doing and just go from there.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Chris, your cow's been relatively healthy of late, hasn't it?
Oh, but I don't have enough upstream speed to run a Skype call and stream out video and.
Oh, okay.
Diecast, who's you have Comcast or Time Warner?
Verizon.
Oh, that's right. Okay. I will be moving into a Time Warner area.
I'm currently getting 100 megs. It's still downloading, but 100 to 102 megs down.
I'm jealous.
And
now we're just waiting for the upstream test.
Okay.
It's doing smashingly well, obviously.
I get 5 now.
Down.
I get like 1.5 up.
Is Diecast frozen again right now?
He is. Okay, that'll do it for the show this week. We will see
I think
next
he's
week.
Frozen because he's doing the speed test.
Yeah. He's been doing the speed test all show. That's the problem.
Probably.
Well, maybe that's why he shouldn't be doing the speed test while he's doing the show. It's slowing the system down.
Exactly. Have a good one, everybody. We'll see you later.
Bye now.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers internet radio show since 1999. 100% girlfriend free since 1999.